Good morning, church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, may your word speak directly to our hearts and minds today. This is not an easy sermon, but Lord, that's where your Holy Spirit comes in, to help us make room for your truth in our lives. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to extend holiday blessings and wishes to our families and friends that are here this morning and those of y'all who are visiting us online. Today's sermon, to be kind, not nice. This was a fun one for me. Very personal for me. I've struggled with being too nice. And it sounds kind of counterintuitive. Thank you. But I promise you, with the word of God, we're going to see how there's a big difference between what being nice is and what being kind is. Being nice, not in the Bible. Being kind, a spiritual gift, a spiritual fruit. Being nice is what the world does. Being kind is what God's people are called to be. Ooh. Let me go with this summary sentence here, guys. Summary sentence. The command of God for his children to be kind and not nice, like the world, will help us grow spiritually, increase our influence, and strengthen every one of our relationships. This is serious business. The more I delved into the Word of God, the more I studied this topic on being kind, it began to unfold and unravel into something that is very, very important and serious in our lives. I want to challenge us today that we are to, as a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, is to completely remove the word nice from your vocabulary. Get rid of it, just like Christians should never say stuff like luck. What's that in the Christian's vocabulary? I want to challenge us today. There are countless examples in the Bible of how that exhort us to be kind and to show kindness. And I'm reminded of the text in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David is thinking about Jonathan's relatives that are still around. He said, is there anyone who I can show kindness on Jonathan's behalf? It's to show kindness, to look for opportunities to hook up and to bless and to help and to encourage it. Look for those opportunities. So he kept looking, and remember, he found a relative. And David went all out to show kindness to the last remaining relative of Jonathan. Y'all remember that story? So. Now we need to understand. Let's go to the definitions. I always love going with definitions, okay? Nice. Let's start there. Being nice, okay, means to be suitable or proper. Okay, yeah, all right. We get that. Suitable and proper, right? To be amiable. That means to be friendly, to be sociable, willing to accept the wishes, decisions, or suggestions of another or others. Okay. All right, nice. Last one. To be pleasing or agreeable. I'm going somewhere. Now, on the surface, you might not catch it. Hang with me. Kindness, okay? Now, in the King James, in the Greek, that's the same word as gentleness, okay? Kindness, gentleness. If you read different versions, you'll see it's a gentleness in some, kindness in another. Especially in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, or gentleness will get tossed in there, right? The King James says gentleness. That Greek word and Pastor Cozy is gonna chastise me on mispronunciation of this, but krastostas. Okay? He gave me the thumbs up. I'll take it. It means moral goodness, integrity, and tolerance towards others. Okay? Okay, I'm going somewhere. I need y'all to stay with me now. It's what we as Christians are to do for others that they cannot or won't do for themselves. I'm warming up, y'all. The battle is for the Christian. Will we be kind or nice? It is literally a battle. Let's go to the scripture reading that Sister June did a great job for us this morning. Let's go open your Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Let's start there. And as we get into this text, as we get there, this is literally the most powerful sermon ever heard. This Sermon on the Mount, right, going all the way from Matthew 5 to chapter 7, Jesus preached the most powerful, the most far-reaching, the most impactful sermon ever spoken. Because what he did was he took the Old Testament theology and upgraded it. He took it to an entirely new level. And sometimes we get caught and we think Old Testament ways, but we need to upgrade. Just like how we upgrade our devices and our laptops and different things, we need to upgrade our spiritual walk in our Christian walk. It's time to upgrade them. And one of my favorite things to do on these devices, Pastor Cozy, is when I go to the app store and I see the update section, right? And I go there. I do it every single morning. I go and I look for the update. And I say, what's the latest update? What's the new revision? What's the new feature? What's the new awesome thing that this app, one of my favorite apps, is going to do? What is it going to do now? Update. Update. I challenge you all that we need to update our Christian walk just like that application so that we can go from being nice to being kind. Let's see what the Bible says. Man, this is powerful, y'all. Verse 43, it says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love your neighbor and hate thine enemy. Old Testament. Jesus upgrades it. What does he say? But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Let me explain. If we think we could be nice and do what Jesus called us to do, we are way, there's, I mean, we could, as far as the East is from the West, as someone who is nice or calls themselves nice as a Christian and can even approach doing what this verse is calling us to do. Let me read the rest of this. That ye may be of your, maybe children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. We as God's people, and we as human beings growing closer to Christ, are literally not capable of doing what God does. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust, right? So we need to understand that we have to be willing to do what God has called us to do and not pick and choose. Nice people pick and choose. God's people spread kindness every single direction they are. But let me explain. Let me see, this is the challenge. I struggle with this, you all. I struggle with, okay, well, wait a minute. There's something deeper about this kindness and nice thing. There's something deeper about it. Let's go. Let me read the rest. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? See, the publicans say things like, you scratch my back, That's a worldly paradigm and thought pattern that God's people need not have. We bless, God blesses us. We bless, God blesses us. That's the circle of love. That's how it's supposed to go. We don't do things in order to be reciprocated or repaid for the good we do. Uh-oh, got a little quiet on me. I understand this is a challenge, but we got to remember, we got to upgrade, we got to update ourselves. Verse 47, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? You see how Jesus, when Jesus really wants to make a point, he says it twice. He said the same thing twice in these two verses, right? Be ye therefore perfect. That word perfect, we get so literal sometimes we lose what Jesus is talking about. That word perfect means spiritually mature. Okay? We have to grow and mature in our Christian walk. We can't be the same way we are now in 2017 as we were in 2013. When was your last upgrade? You know how you don't say anything, but you secretly judge the folk that, you know, they're walking around with that ancient device or something, you know, like, you know, we don't want to say anything, but you're like, man, come on. It's time for upgrade. I'm frustrated with just looking at you trying to work that phone still. I mean, it said 3G instead of LTE. No LTE nowhere to be found on that device. I mean, you try to download an app, it takes a half a day. But spiritually, sometimes we get stuck and we do not upgrade because we feel uncomfortable. We feel like, man, this is calling for this. I can't do this on my own. See, being nice is saying I could do it on my own. What do I need God for? I could just be nice. You see, listen. Listen. Problems with being nice. Number one, it increases bitterness and gives the enemy a foothold. Let me explain. See, some of us struggle. I used to struggle with this, where you would be outwardly compliant, inwardly resentful. I'm okay with doing that, knowing in your heart, man, I can't believe they asked me to do that. The Bible says, this is what the Bible, look, go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's jump there real quick. If we could throw that up on the screen, I definitely need that one on the screen. My awesome AV team. Oh my goodness, y'all. This is so powerful. And if we go Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, listen. It says, be angry and sin not, though. Be angry, sin not, okay? Why? And let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, when you inwardly hold it in, you're angry, but you hold it in. That's bitterness. Angry, but hold it in, it turns into bitterness, right? And the enemy can more easily manipulate and take advantage of us and get into our lives when we are not honest. It's not about if we are to respond. I'm going to get to that. But how we respond to that request, how we respond to certain things. So, number one, the problem is we increase bitterness and gives the enemy a foothold in our lives. Number two, the second problem for being nice is that we become fake and shallow people. There's no depth to us. We are chameleons. We kind of blend in wherever we are. We just kind of move and adjust accordingly. Instead of standing firm, instead of standing strong. See, Christians need to be kind, but we don't have to. See, the challenge is that sometimes we are so afraid. We're so not used to being honest is that when someone asks us and we holding in bitterness, remember, we holding in anger, then all of a sudden when God challenges us to be kind, we explode on the next person because we've been holding all that bitterness, and the first person that gets on our nerves, pow, they catch everything. All that anger, all that bitterness held up. And so sometimes we cower because we holding on to so much anger and frustration in our lives. See, this is deep stuff. This is deep stuff because some of my older members understand and know this. They call it the midlife crisis, right? Y'all, you get to a point where all of a sudden you don't know what to do. Everything kind of unloads. See, I should have brought the quote, but the quote, there's a book called Boundaries. I mentioned it last week that talks about we as human beings have in our hearts a mechanism in order to protect itself from a lot of trauma, a lot of issues that we have, right? But sometimes this is what happens. Literally, our bodies and our minds and our hearts, after a certain age, get too weak to hold on to the bitterness and to anger. And it has to come out somewhere. That's what they call the midlife crisis. Because all of a sudden, what you've been holding on to and suppressing and dumping down, it's like stumping that trash. You're trying to get more trash in there. You don't want anybody to know. Close the lid. Stuff, stuff, stuff. Close the lid. All of a sudden, when we get too old to deal with to hold it in any longer, it comes out. Sometimes it shows up as sicknesses and diseases. See, let me explain something, y'all. Y'all, this spiritual stuff that the Word of God is trying to get us to expose and bring out, always spiritual issues always manifest themselves physically. That's why God is telling us to get to deal with these things. Because we can't act and be a Christian, be nice, and eventually it's going to tumble out. It's going to get exposed. But we come, we show up every week. You know, Sabbath best. But see, the challenge is, when we're kind, when we're nice and not kind, we see that person who asked us and was trying to take advantage of us and manipulate us. Here they come. You can't worship. You can't connect with God. You're busy thinking about that person who did you wrong or try to take advantage of you and manipulate you. Man, I wish their car would just y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know in y'all heart. Y'all be saying some stuff. But when people talk, happy Sabbath, happy the Lord is good. God bless you. God bless you. But in here, see, when we outwardly comply, inwardly resent, that's not God. And that should not be God's people. We are to be kind. It's not about how we say it, but we need to say it. I'm going to get there. Let me finish this. Last thing, the problem with being nice, it makes us morally weak and unable to handle the difficulties of life, accomplish our goals, or be successful. Everything hinges on our willingness and desire and either to be kind or nice. Our success in life. The challenges we have in our lives. Sometimes we need to speak the truth to ourselves. I am struggling with this and I need help. But if you're busy lying to yourself, see, the devil comes in and he helps us do these little white lies. Y'all know the little ones, the little small ones, I'll deal with this tomorrow. Or even the worst one, I say this every time, I'm fine. But we know that when you're fine, you're a fearful, insecure, neurotic, emotional. How much time I got? Let me keep going here. See? And see, fellas, nice guys finish last. That phrase that the world has, that's true. See, nice guys are chameleons. They know how to kind of navigate and kind of fit their way. But then when it's time to speak the truth or how they really feel about something, where they really stand, well, you know, I don't really know if the Bible really says that. you know, there's a lot of different translations, and, you know, there's a different culture, and, you know. Or even worse. See, again, see, outwardly apply, inwardly resent. How did he get that job? I should have applied. But I didn't want to look like I was, you know how you pretend that you care about whatever other people think or look at you instead of doing what you know in your heart you should do? You make decisions based on other people's weaknesses? And you hold in? And you're nice? Man of God, we have to speak the truth and we have to own the responsibility. See, it's more attractive to be kind than nice. Ladies, y'all need to be looking for and stay away from that nice guy. He is a jive turkey. I'll say it. Because he doesn't have any convictions and he doesn't know how to stand strong and make a decision when the metal meets the road. I got a whole different sermon about that. Well, let me keep going. Let me get here. Let's go here. Too many times we're timid and nervous and then want to complain about not being where we want to be in our lives. We can be confident, driven, and motivated in every single aspect of our lives and still be kind at the same time. Sometimes we think, I gotta be a Christian. If I look like I'm trying to be successful or trying to be extra motivated in my job or anything, then I'll look like I'm mean, or I'm trying to step over people. And, you know, all these things that we get caught up in. God wants us to be the head and not the tail. He wants us to be successful. We don't have to negate being kind in order to be successful. Four ways. Let me get here. Four ways to be kind and not nice, okay? Four ways. We have to think before we speak. T-H-I-N-K, okay? And by the way, if anybody wants these notes, I'll email them, send them to you. Just let me know what you need. I'll send them, okay? We have to think before we speak. T-H-I-N-K. So T, is it true? Okay? Is it true? H, is it helpful? Okay? So we have to think before we speak. This is how we can be kind. This breakdown is basically saying we need to pray before we speak a lot of times. And we need to have that conversation with God and somebody we trust in our spiritual walk, a brother or sister that we can bounce off, that can be a sounding board to hear the challenges that we have and the issues that we're facing, so that we can make sure we're being kind before we go and speak. It's not about if we're going to speak. A lot of people, a lot of us Christians, we hold in. We say, I'll just pray about it. But then never come back and have the conversation. We're too afraid of the conversation. God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm talking about the practical, everyday things we need to get over. You know, I really don't like how that person treats me, but I'm going to just pray. See, faith is active. Faith has movement. Faith makes decisions and prays and moves forward. We as Christians should always take the offensive posture. We are not the ones that have to cower and be afraid of anything. We have the God of the universe on our side. We have to be confident that God will be with us as long as we pray. So we have to make sure before we speak, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it, you know, encouraging for someone? Okay? So T, true. H, helpful. I, inspiring. N, necessary. Some things just aren't necessary. See, that's why you need to have that Christian friend or that small group where you can go and say, you know, I'm about to go through this thing. I got to go and I really want to apply for this new position. I really want to have this conversation with a family member or anything. I need you guys' help. I need you guys to help me process this thing, okay? And those that got your back and that want the best for you, they will help you kind of make sure, okay, we'll say this, but not that. You know, you see how it goes? That's why y'all should have that, at least that text group. Y'all know how y'all have those text groups? Y'all need to hit them up and say, hey, those that pray now. No, not those gossip groups. All y'all text messages. No, not those. Don't text that group, okay? Text a group that's praying and that you know have a strong relationship with Christ and that can help you. I definitely got mine. Anytime I'm struggling and need some help, I hit my fellas up. Boom. You know, that iron sharpens iron kind of thing, you know? I can get into a whole different thing about life groups. Okay, T, true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind. K, think before you speak. That's prayer. This is how you can pray. God, Lord, is this true? Do I need to deal with this? Yes, God will say more times than not. Or no, it's all good. Let it go. But a lot of times you can't let everything go. Because the Bible says in Matthew 18, when you approach and speak to that brother, you've won that brother. When you have aught with your brother, y'all know what I'm talking about? Let me read it. This is a powerful principle that I believe God's people need to step up and get to the point where we do this thing. It's that spiritual principle. We're going to find that later. Let's keep going. Let's wrap this up. So number one, four ways to be kind and not nice. So we have to think before we speak. Number two, we have to speak the truth in love. We have to speak the truth in love. We're in the Ephesians a lot today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The Bible says, be ye kind unto one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Okay? So we have to speak the truth. We have to speak. Again, not speaking is not the same as letting it go. There's conversations that we should have had 10 years ago that we need to still have. But we hold it in. See, remember, when we give the devil a foothold, man, why is all these problems in my life, Lord? Because we've given the devil a foothold in our lives by holding on to bitterness and not dealing with it, not speaking our truth in love. See, again, how do we do it? In love. But we have to speak. See, sometimes when we don't pray, when we don't deal with it the proper way, the next time we see that person, it's either verbal altercation, sometimes it gets into physical altercations. This is the kind of things we need to teach our young people, how to have conversations when you have disagreements and we don't see things eye to eye the right way with love as opposed to fisticuffs. That's what happens in the inner city. These young black guys and these young men don't know how to speak to each other, don't know how to deal with disagreements. The first thing they do is grab a weapon or something. Let me keep going. Avoiding speaking or having the conversation is choosing the worst possible outcome by default. When you don't have that conversation, that means you are planning for the worst possible outcome in that relationship. Anybody hear what I'm saying today? This is challenging. I know it's challenging. But we have to have the courage and trust God that He will be with you. Nice people hide, cover up, tell white lies in order to prevent hurting other people's feelings, right? That's what nice people do. Let me put something on y'all that you probably never heard. We are not responsible for other people's feelings. This was one of the most difficult things. I know what it's like to worry and not to be afraid to say something because I'm afraid of offending someone else, okay? This is one of the hardest things I had to learn. We have to get to the point where we are responsible for ourselves, but responsible to others. We're responsible to others to help them do what they cannot do for themselves. See, the Bible says things like help each other carry their burden, right? I want to say in Galatians 6, right, where it talks about carry one another's burdens, right? That word burden in the Greek stands for boulder, that was something that is literally too hard for anyone to handle and carry by themselves. That's where we're to help responsible to. But then a couple of verses down, it says each one is to carry our own load. That word load stands for like a book bag, a knapsack, that one person alone is fully capable of handling on their own. That's your feelings, your time, your words. These are the things you're responsible for yourself, your own feelings. They made me feel this way. Listen, I'm telling y'all, this is something brand new. This is something on a whole next level, but I'm challenging us for 2018 to upgrade our spiritual walk. We are responsible for our own feelings. How we say it is, we're responsible for how we say it, but we need to be and still have the courage and the confidence to speak the truth. Some families and parents have to speak the truth to their children. You need to stop smoking weed and get a job and deal and start making better decisions. I'm not giving you money for weed and washing your clothes anymore. You know, you're crippling that young man or that young woman. You're literally crippling them by enabling their deficits and their weakness. But we have to speak the truth. You need to get it together. I love you, and I'm going to help you. Let's do this together. But stop enabling. Don't, and my young men, definitely don't wash. Stop washing your clothes tonight. That's it. Don't wash another draw. Nothing. Don't do it. Young men need to wash their own clothes. They can be responsible for themselves. That's their clothes. I'm trying to be funny and Let me end this sermon real quick here. This is a challenge. We have gone so long lying to ourselves and others that when we finally do tell the truth, all the bitterness bursts out on the persons close to us. Number three. So we talked about two things. Four ways to help be kind and not nice. So we talk about think before you speak, T-H-I-N-K. Then we talk about we have to speak the truth in love. Now, number three is that we have to replace attacks with acts of kindness. Okay? Now, this is where the rubber, if you say you're a Christian and your boss lies on you, how do you respond? I'm talking about real life stuff. Someone's going back to work on Monday, having to deal with the issue that's waiting for us. What are we going to do? See how we have to pray? See how we have to have people that we trust that we could bounce things off? But we have to have the courage and know that God's going to be with us when we have the conversation with that individual. He'll go ahead of us and work on that person's heart and mind to receive the truth that you have to share. Once we speak our truth in love, our hearts are free from bitterness, wrath, anger, etc., and have room for love, peace, patience, kindness. You see how it works? It's the principle, it's the spiritual principle of space. You have to remove something in order to put something else in its place. That is a spiritual principle. So how can God give you love, peace, and joy when you're holding on to bitterness and anger, and it's clogged in there? That's what prayer is all about. That's what confession is all about. God, I am still holding on to this thing from 25 years ago. Because when I see that person, it's like it just happened yesterday. Listen, y'all, spiritual issues do not expire. See how nice it kind of, that's what nice people do. Oh, I'll get over it. It'll be okay. This is tough, y'all. This is tough, but that's why we need God's help. He can do it through us. He has done it. Every time Jesus had a conflict, he never cowered from it. He always addressed it face on. Every time. But in love. See, Ellen White says things like, Jesus, he always spoke, I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus always spoke the truth. But sometimes when he had to speak the truth, there was tears in his voice. Because he knew how that truth, the truth does hurt. It does. But that's why we go to God and say, God, man, it hurts because it's true, because now all of a sudden we got to do something about it. And nice people don't want to do anything. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm going to just keep going on, going through the motions. No joy. No energy, no passion about life. The last one. Be willing to receive correction from others. Remember, how is it true? Sometimes when you speak it, but sometimes when somebody speaks to you, the first question we need to ask, is it true? I didn't even know was in the Bible, this text. This is a powerful text. Psalm 141, verse 5. So this should be us, right? This should be us speaking the truth, right? The Bible says, Psalm 141, verse 5 says, let the righteous smite me, and it shall be kindness. The righteous smite me, it shall be kindness. Let him reprove me, and it shall be excellent oil. That text jumped right out of the Bible on me. We need to be thankful when someone tells us the truth. You know it's the truth. Remind yourself that you are not perfect and that you actually want to know the weak areas in your character so that the Holy Spirit, with your permission, can begin to smooth out those rough patches. So we need that. That's why we come to church. That's why we hear the Word of God. That's why we should read this book every day, no matter how deep it cuts. Because there's areas in our character that need to be smoothed out so that God can have room for the blessing. He wants to give you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. He wants to give us those things. He wants to pour them into us. But sometimes if something is full and you try to pour it, it's just going to just make a mess. What are you holding on to? Let's wrap this year up strong and leave that kind of stuff at the altar. Benefits. When we are kind and not nice, we remove a big percentage of the junk in our hearts to make room for the fruit of the Spirit. Also, listen, it protects us from danger by saying no with a smile. We can say no with a smile, church. And you know, I'm gonna do something as we wrap up. I want everybody to turn to somebody real close to you, real quick. This is an object lesson that we're going to do right now, okay? Okay, this is what I want y'all to do. Each person, if you don't know each other, introduce yourself, okay? And say, listen, hi, so-and-so. Say something crazy like, you know, give me all the money in your wallet. Yeah, or give me your cell phone, okay? No, this is serious. I want y'all to do this, okay? Okay, and then the person listening, you say no and smile at them. Do that real quick. Okay? Something crazy. Ask them something crazy. And then just turn to the person and say no with a smile. Huh? Listen, I want y'all to remember this object lesson. Some of us have never said no to someone. I mean, never. You know, we're busy people pleasing instead of God pleasing. People pleasing, God pleasing. This will help you have better relationships and friendships. Every single one of your relationships can improve when you are kind and not nice. Every single one. Our relationship with God. If we don't have something in our lives that we want, how come we're not praying about it? How come we're not asking God for it? Ask and you shall receive. Oh, God, I don't deserve it. That's the enemy. That God didn't tell you you didn't deserve it? That's what the Bible text said. He gives the rain on the just and the unjust. God is in the blessing business. He has his ear cupped and listening for his children to speak a word, to speak a prayer, so he has an opportunity to bless you in your life. He's listening in heaven, saying, oh, hey, Gabriel, did you hear what I heard? They're asking me to show up in their lives, to bless and provide for them. Not holding on to this indirect self-righteousness that I'm not good enough. Only when I'm good enough do I deserve blessings. That's not God's word. That's not what we as Christians should ever say about ourselves. That's that self-righteousness also. If you're good, you deserve it. But if you're, that's what the world says. And see, when we are kind and not nice, it honors our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by being opposite of the world. When we have those tough conversations, when we look for opportunities to bless and help others, not looking for any kind of reciprocation, any kind of repayment. You know, it's easy now. We got the holiday season to look at. It's normal now. But once January 12th or 15th hit, everybody starts going right back to being nice. They hook me up, I'm going to hook them up. They do something good for me, I'm going to do something good for them. I want to challenge you all with this last text, that we need to be kind and not nice, and we need to go to the next level in our Christian walk. We need to be willing to do what the world is not doing and to show the love of Christ in spite of anything we might think we're going to receive, but we're not. Put on, therefore, elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. So I want to challenge us this year. As we get ready, these cold temperatures start hitting us, right? And we go in the closet, we're getting the layers on, right? We're putting the layers on. I want to challenge us spiritually to put these layers on. See, it says put on, right? It says put on kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Anybody willing to challenge themselves this year? I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to try, by God's grace, to be kind and not nice. Let's pray. Father and God, thank you for your word. Lord, this word is cutting deep, but Lord, that's why we need you. And we need your Holy Spirit to come and to be the surgeon, Lord God, that the word may cut, but it may be a proper cut, an accurate cut, so that you can prune us, God, so that we can have more room for your love and blessings in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said together, amen. Amen. God bless you.